We'll resume now with our second theme in the narrative of the flight of Lot from Sodom, which is now the escort. He's been escorted by the two angels out of the city, and that deals with verses 15 through 17, which read, "With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Hurry, take your wife and your daughters, your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished.' When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, 'Flee for your lives. Do not look back. Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away.'" Now Lot has been given the opportunity to rescue anyone that belonged to him. He has failed to convince his sons-in-laws of the impending destruction of Sodom. Now it is time for him to leave the city so as not to be destroyed with the people. Therefore, just as before daylight, the angels instructed Lot to take his wife and two daughters and leave that city. The expression, "who are here," is literally from the Hebrew, "the ones being found" or "the ones being present." Now, this is because we have a Hebrew participle from the word matzah. Matzah. M-A-T-S-A Aleph. Master. It means to find or to meet. Also means to attend to something. Now there is the element of movement in that word, but the way it is used in the Hebrew, what they call a nafal, it means being found or being present. Now the implication is perhaps that there were other daughters of Lot who were not in his household at this time. Now, if that was the case, then the sons-in-laws mentioned previously would have been truly been the husbands instead of being the betrothed. But the problem with being certain is that Lot had nowhere pleaded that he needs to make effort to get his daughters out. But then, is it also possible that his daughters may have become so corrupt that there was no need and they had to be judged with the city? But in all, there are not enough information here to believe. And get out of the city, he will be included in the judgment that is to come. As in the last phrase of verse 15, where it says, "Oh, you will be swept away when the city is punished." A literal rendering of this phrase in the Hebrew is this way: "Lest you be destroyed," or "lest you be swept with the punishment of iniquity of the city." Now the Hebrew word translated "punished" is a Hebrew noun, evon or avon. It can either be spelled as A, V, or Aleph, Ayin, A-V-O-N, or you can say Ayin, A-W-O-N. The reason that they do that is because the Hebrew letter wa can sometimes, in English, we can either translate it as V or W. So that's why it can use either way, depending on the context that people like to do this transliteration. But avon means perversity, depravity, iniquity, guilt, or punishment of guilt. In other words, there's no word "city is punished." We don't find it as a verb. It just really a punishment of iniquity. Now this word is used for misdeed and its consequences, or the punishment that comes as a result of doing something wrong. Now sometimes the focus is on the deed itself, the sin, and the other time the focus is on the consequence, which is the punishment. The point is that there is a punishment that is coming to this city because of her sins. The people are going to be judged, but if Lot does not separate himself from them, he himself will be judged together with them. This should cause us to realize that there are times when believers will suffer with unbelievers if they were not wise enough to separate themselves from the unbelievers, and that is, they will receive the same kind of judgment. Of course, the gracious Lord knows how to separate the believer from the unbeliever, or give him adequate warning to separate himself from the unbeliever, as was the case with Lot. The problem we may face is that we often do not know how to separate ourselves from unbelievers who must be judged because of one thing or another. And that becomes a lot more difficult if they are related to us by birth or by marriage. Lot was reluctant to leave the city, as in the expression, when he hesitated, or more literally, when he lingered. The word hesitate comes from the Hebrew word maha. Maha. M-A-H-A-H. It means to linger, or to delay, or to tarry. Now, why did Lot linger, or hesitated in this case? Well, there are two possible reasons. First of all, it could be, though, that he actually had daughters who were not in his household, and at this time he was dallying around because he probably could think he could buy some time to get hold of them, or he might have just been finding it difficult to abandon his will-be son-in-laws. He might be having difficulty leaving them alone. Secondly, he could also be concerned with his property. Now, it is quite difficult to tell a person to leave his house in a moment's notice and flee. That's difficult. Lord probably wanted to gather a few things to take with him. Now, this is possible. Now, anyone who has been in a war zone knows how painful it is and difficult for people to get up and move at such a moment's notice. Nevertheless, it is when we find that it is a choice between property and life, people will always opt for their lives, with the understanding that life is more important than any worldly goods. In the same vein, of course, people ought to know or realize that eternal life is more important than anything that is material. Indecision here should cause us to recognize the importance of being quite decisive in matters that concern spiritual life. For example, some Christians find themselves wavering between being serious with the Word of God and being attached to the world's entertainment system. There should never be equivocation about that. We must know, keep our priorities straight. We cannot afford to be hesitant in making up our minds to be serious with the study of the Word of God and its application. That is our lifeline as believers. Now, because it is God's plan to rescue Lot, the angels had to forcefully remove him from this house. Now, this is the sense of the phrase of verse 16 when it says, "The man grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city." The word grasp indicates that they were forcefully removed from the city. That's what the Hebrew will indicate. Now, the reason that the angels went this length of escorting Lot and his household out of the city is, as we have mentioned, that's God's plan. The Lord was gracious to Lot, as in the expression, it said, for the Lord was merciful to them. The word merciful comes from the Hebrew word kemla. Kemla. C-H-E-M-L-A-H. Kemla. It means pity, mercy, or compassion. So this word was used for compassion that the Lord was manifesting in leading Lot and his household out from the city. It is interesting, though, to know that the removal of Lot and his family was by force. Now, that's a part of compassion shown to Lot, to forcefully remove them. And, you know, people may not think that was compassion, but it is. Because you really, when you think about this, what kind of compassion would it have been if the angels did not forcefully remove them, knowing what was coming? So you see, there are times we have to do some unconventional things in order to save somebody. Hence, the forceful removal of Lot is indeed an act of kindness and compassion, even though it may not appear so to so many people. Lot and his household were still not out of danger just because they have been escorted out of the city. So the angels issued a series of commands to them, which they must truly obey to escape the destruction of Sodom and its surrounding cities. Now the first command is to flee, as in the first phrase of verse 17, where it says, as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. The word flee is a translation of the Hebrew word malat, malat is M-A-L-A-T. It means to slip away or to escape or to be delivered. Now, the most prominent idea of this word is deliverance or escape from the threat of death. Certainly, death hangs over Sodom and the surrounding cities, that the angels want Lot to escape the city as it is about to be destroyed. Now, the second command to Lot is not to look back. And it's given that expression where it says, don't look back. The word look here is a Hebrew word, nabat. Nabat. N-A-B-A-T. Nabat. It means to look or to watch. It can also mean to regard something. Now, the form in which this word is used in the Hebrew, what they call the hifel, there is the implication that it is not just merely looking backwards that is a concern of the angels, but that Lot should show no regard for what is leaving behind. That's the implication. Now, he is not to pay attention or regard, or have any kind of regard for those things that is behind. Now, it is possible that if he begins to show concern for those things that he left behind, he may be tempted to go back and get some of them. I know this fact from experience, that many people in war zones lose their lives when, after escaping the initial advance of the enemy, returns back to collect more of their property that they left behind. I know this from experience, because during the 60s in the so-called Nigerian Biafran War, during that period, three members of my close family got killed that way. They had escaped the advancing army and then ran away. 2 days later, they figured it was safe to come back and get their something that they left because the wife was nagging. And, but you know, those three people never came back. And that was the end of it. So this I know for experience, that once people escape and they think things have calmed down, they want to go back, invariably most of them they lose their life. And this is what God did not want to happen to Lot. So when he said, don't look back, it's not that without going back and looking this way, as people say. No, it is much more than that. The command, of course, as far as Lot is concerned, is so that he may not be concerned with anything in that city that is about to be destroyed. This command is quite applicable to us even at the present day. We are not to be so attached to the world that the things of this world could cause us to be distracted from our primary focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the third command is not to stay anywhere within the vicinity of Sodom. That is in the expression of verse 17 where it says, don't stop anywhere in the plain. Now the word stop is a translation from the Hebrew word amad. Amad. It is I-N-A-M-A-D. It means to stand, to take one stand, or to remain. It also means to continue, to stop, or to remain. Now, the word plain is a translation of the Hebrew word that we saw. It's an unusual word, kikar. Kikar. Now, kikar, K-I-K-K-A-R. Kikar means a round district or around. Now, it is used for the environs of the Jordan Valley. This is the same word translated plain, if you recall, in Genesis chapter 13, for the location that Lot chose. I'm referring to Genesis 13, verse 11. Genesis 13:11. It says, so Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out to the east, towards the east. The two men parted company. Now that word plain is the same Hebrew word kikar. It would seem that some part of that plain was near Sodom, and it will appear very attractive to Lot, that he may be tempted to go and settle somewhere around there. And God wants him to move away completely out of that area because of what's going to happen. So this command is really to cause Lot to move beyond the location, and that's why he's given the fourth command, which is for Lot to escape to the mountains. In the last expression of verse 17, it says, that's back to Genesis 19. The last expression of verse 17 says, flee to the mountains or you'll be swept away. Now the mountains must be somewhere beyond the plain around Sodom. Truly, we cannot be absolutely certain of this location of this mountain, but looking at the everything we can tell, is since this area has to be near the Dead Sea, it is likely that this mountain is what they call Mount Nebo. Again, the reason for the command to escape to the mountain is to keep Lot from being destroyed together with the Sodomites. So that brings us to the third theme, which is in this narrative of the flight, and that is Lot's own request to flee to Zoar. That takes us from verses 18 23. But Lot said to them, no, my lords, please, your servants have found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. He said to him, very well. I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. But flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar,
the sun had risen over the land.
Now we indicated that we could not be certain of the mountain the angel spoke of, but one thing that we can be sure, since it wasn't actually addressed to us, we should not be too concerned about that. We can locate the precise place. But the man he was spoken to knew exactly where he was supposed to go. It was clear to Lot. So he reasoned that it would take him some time to get to that mountain. Therefore, he makes a request for the angels to allow him to go to a nearby town instead. Now, there are a few facts that we should observe before we actually look at the actual request. First of all, Lot was very respectful of these angels while still indicating that it will be impossible or it will not be possible for him to carry out the fourth command of going to the mountains. His politeness, of course, is expressed in the use of the word please. That shows he's polite. Second, he recognized that the angels were no ordinary men, since again he addresses them as my lords. Third, he acknowledged their kindness towards him, as in the sentence of verse 19, where he said, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me, inspiring my life. Now the expression, you have shown great kindness to me, is literally, you have magnified your kindness which you acted with me. Now this is because of two Hebrew words that I use here. The first, we have the Hebrew word gadal, gadal, G-A-D-A-L, gadal. It means to grow, to become great, or to become important. It can also mean to praise or to magnify, to do things great. Now, in addition to that word, we have a Hebrew word that's been of interest for many years, is the Hebrew word chesed, or chesed. Chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D. Chesed. It means goodness, faithfulness, or kindness. See, for many centuries, this word has been translated by such meanings as mercy, kindness, and love. But since 1927, other meanings have been suggested by some scholars. One such meaning is to regard this word basically as, not to look at it as mercy, but to see it as God's loyalty to his covenant obligation to Israel. But this meaning, of course, remains to be disputed. Nevertheless, because this word not only denotes a human attitude, but also the act that emerges from this attitude, the best meaning still remains goodness, kindness, or grace. For you see, the act conveyed in this word is that which preserves. It's an act that promotes life. Furthermore, it is something that in a way intervenes on behalf of someone who is suffering some kind of disaster or some kind of what people say, misfortune. It's a word that also demonstrates some kind of friendship or some kind of devotion. So, the best meaning still remains to look at it as mercy, kindness. So Lot recognized that these angels were being very kind to him. So their kind to him, their kindness is magnified because although he has shown them kindness by entertaining them, yet his entertainment of them is not comparable to what they are doing for him now. So that's why he said, you've shown to me great kindness, or you've magnified it. We should, of course, observe that at this time, Lot was speaking directly to one of the angels that issued the command to him, although his remarks are really addressed to both angels. Fourth, Lot recognizes limitation that will make it impossible for him to get to the mountain. This is what is expressed in the last
sentence of verse 19 when he says, "But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I will die." Now it is likely that Lot realized how the impending destruction of Sodom was because of the urgency of the command to flee or to escape the city. For this reason, he came to the conclusion that there was not enough time for him to escape to this mountain area. He knows about it. Now, in making this argument, Lot has forgotten that God will not start something without finishing it. In other words, it would make no sense for God to start to deliver him and not complete it. This meant that Lot, had he continued to the mountain, he still would preserve. Now there are two applications we make about Lot's argument not to flee to the mountain. First of all, it is this. It is always important for us to be able to recognize our limitations in this life. We must always do that. Failure to recognize one's limitations causes a lot of problems. See, there are many people who feel stressed out every day because they are not able to recognize their limitations and therefore curtail some of their activities or some of their involvement. You know, a lot of time, people stress themselves too thin. Now, generally, my instance is if it is not work-related, where you make your living, every other thing you cause on yourself. You know, I mean, there are people say, "I have to go to this place, go to..." Who said you have to go there? You just don't recognize your limitation. And therefore, you put all this on yourself and bring yourself to all kinds of pressure that you don't need to bear in any way. Now, the important lesson, though, we should learn is that we ought to be able to recognize our limitation in order then not to bring many problems in our life. Second, we should never transfer our limitation to God. There is a sense in which Lot did exactly this. As we mentioned previously, Lot failed to recognize that the Lord will not start to deliver him and not complete it. So he assumed that because of his own human limitation, that God also must be limited. Now we should never confuse our own human limitations with God's ability to carry out his purpose for our life. This means that while we should recognize our human limitations, we must never allow them to interfere with God's promises to us. On recognizing his limitation, Lot makes his request to escape to a much smaller town that he was certain he at least he could run before the destruction starts. So that's why he says in verse 20, "Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." See, although it is not reflected in the English rendering, Lot here was still being polite, even when he points to the small city that he would like to flee to. The question that he poses as to the smallness or the size of this city is primarily to confirm, or at least to get some kind of confirmation, that such a city is free of corruption. The corruption of the big city of Sodom that will soon be destroyed. You know, under normal circumstances, small cities are usually free of the problem of the big cities. Now, I use this as an anomaly because, unfortunately, some of the small cities or rural areas are experiencing some of the pain and the crimes and all kinds of things that you find in the big cities. But generally, it is not always the case. I mean, there are still evidences that small rural areas are still much better than the big cities. Because, you know, big cities, people don't know each other. And in little town, rural area, Well, everyone seems to know another person. So one person does something, before you know it, the gossip is everywhere. So I think maybe that can help people to get away from some of these things. But in the big city, you don't know the next your next neighbor, and you know you can live near a person for 10, 15 years, never know him. That's big city. But so big cities have their problems. But small cities or rural area should normally have this kind, not have some of those kind of problems. So that's what Lot figured, that this small city must be free from the sexual perversion that exists in Sodom. Now the angel who has been speaking with Lot granted him this request, as in the phrase of verse 21. Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. Now the expression, I will grant this request too, is literally from the Hebrew, I will lift your face also with respect to this request. That's what the Hebrew said. Let me read it again. I will lift your face also with respect to this request. Now the literal translation reveals that when a person makes a request and the request is granted, his or her countenance is changed. In other words, somebody makes you a request and you grant it, you see how their face seems to lighten up. That's what, and so that is why a lifting of the face can be translated the way an IV tried to translate it. So it is proper then to see granting of a person's request as the lifting of the face of that person. Lot's first request is to escape to the small city. That is granted. But then the angel speaking with Lot as to the something that, you know, Lot asks about, which has to do with the size of that town, because he says, well, I'm not going to overthrow it. That's what the angel says. But remember now, Lot didn't ask anything about that. He just said, isn't this small? However, the angel understood his question as a request not to destroy the city. Because all he didn't, if you read that passage, he never says, please don't destroy it. He just says, is it not a small city or a small place? And by that, all this is, the angel understood what he was really hinting. So this confirms that what we said previously, that the question was indeed intended to ascertain or to make sure that the city would not be destroyed because it was free from some of the atrocities of the big cities of Sodom and its surrounding cities. Now the request of Lot was granted with an additional command. He must still have to hurry to get to that small city. That's why in verse 22 we read, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town was called Zoar. Now the urgency of hurrying to this small city is expressed by the two Hebrew commands. The first is the Hebrew word that translates hurry, which we have encountered previously too. And the other one is the word escape, that also we have encountered previously. To indicate the urgency in Lot's flight to this small city, the angel informs him that he, the angel, will have to wait until Lot gets there quite safely. And as soon as he gets there, all things will start falling, and Sodom was going to catch it. Now, it is often taken that Zoar was one of the cities that the Lord wanted to destroy, but was spared. Now, this assertion, of course, is based on the fact that these five cities are always grouped together, especially in the Bible. We've seen that in Genesis chapter 14, verse 2. I'm not going to read it, but we saw that when we studied Genesis chapter 14. But the issue is really this. Did the Lord really intend to destroy Zoar with all other four cities? It would seem that the Lord had determined prior to this point that he would not destroy this city. Now, I say this for at least two reasons. First of all, the character of the Lord is such that he does not change his mind. Now, anytime there is an indication of change of mind on the part of God in the Bible, we could explain it in one or two ways. Either it is expressed as what is called anthropopathic expressions, that is, expressing an emotion or something that God doesn't possess, just to make us understand what is going on. Or that event was originally part of divine plan, but was manifested in human history in such a way that it will appear that God changed his mind. Second, the angels must have known ahead of time that this city was not to be destroyed for them to quickly grant this request to Lot. Of course, we have to admit that being spirits, the Lord could quickly or instantly give them the answer. But it is more likely that the Lord who sent them had given them the instruction to destroy everything, but to leave Zoar undestroyed. Third, for a request to be granted, it must be then in accordance with God's will. Therefore, it would seem that the Holy Spirit must have impressed on Lot to make this request, knowing that the will of God is to spare Zoar. In effect, the omniscient Lot must have planned from eternity past, definitely not to destroy this city. So in any case, the fact that Zoar was not destroyed, along with other four cities, has at least two implications. First of all, as we have mentioned, that the Lord had determined before now not to destroy this city. Secondly, this city must certainly not have been as corrupt as all the other cities. For if it were that corrupt, no amount of pleading from Lot that will have spared the city. Remember, the greater believer, if we put it that way, Abraham, in spite of his pleading, Sodom will be destroyed. So, it was looking at the pleading of Abraham, we can at least conclude one thing, that there must be at least 10 believers in Zoar. Because remember, that's the number he gave the Lord, and that's where he stopped. Well, with all this now, we've seen this narrative, so what we should do is, let's just quickly summarize some of the lessons or principles that come out of this section. First, it is our primary responsibility to evangelize those around us. That's the first principle. Second, we should never hesitate to obey God's instructions. Otherwise, we will expose ourselves to some form of discipline. Third, we should not permit anyone, spouse, children, or any other relative to drag us down spiritually. Let me repeat that, that's important. We should never allow anyone, spouse, children, or any other relative to drag us down spiritually. Lot nearly allowed his sons-in-laws to bring him down. You, as a believer, must never permit that. You should never hang your relationship, your happiness with the Lord Jesus Christ with any person. Fourth, if we do not separate ourselves from evil practices of the world around us, then we will not be protected from its disciplines. But if we always separate ourselves from the evil practices of the unbelieving world around us, then we will not be disciplined with the unbelievers when discipline comes to them. Instead, the Lord will preserve us, even if it means forcibly relocating us. He will do that just to preserve us. Fifth, we must always recognize our limitations, but we must never transfer our human limitations to God. While we are limited, God is not. So it makes sense for the believer to be cautious, not to bring pressures upon himself so that every time he's complaining, just because he brought it upon himself. Now, these are some of the lessons that we get out of this section, and next week we'll continue with the actual destruction of Sodom. Let's pray. As we close our study this morning, there may be someone here who has never personally trusted Christ as his or her Savior. If you're such a one, we want to remind you that Christ went to the cross. He took your place. Every sin that there is to commit, that you have committed or will still commit, all of these were taken and Christ was judged for them. So, the issue is really not your sin. The issue is, what do you think about this person who did that for you? If you want to do it on your own, you cannot do it. But if you only want to get right with God, there's only one way. The only way to get right with God is to obtain a righteousness that comes by faith. And that faith must be in Christ. So if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you say to God the Father that you are trusting, that Christ took your place on the cross, eternal life will belong to you. That's why the Bible says, these are written, that you may believe that Christ is the Son of God, and by believing, you will have life through his name. As many as receive him, to them has he given the power to become the sons of God, even those who have trusted in his name. Now you have the option. You can tell God the Father you believe in, and you will receive life. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will continue to challenge us so that we will know our limitations, so that we will know things that will bring glory and honor to you, and to go after them. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.